Amen. Hey, I hope you're excited for the Word of God. We're going to come to it at this time. Always great to go to God's Word. I'm going to pray as I begin before I read today's verse and start a little differently, but I believe it's a word that's going to equip us and encourage us as a church. Agree together with me in prayer if you would at this time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you that we could worship you in song. We thank you that we could give to you, Lord God. Folks have been so faithful in their giving, Lord God. It comes in the mail. It comes through the app. It comes through the website. We thank you for the continued generosity. People drop it off, Lord God, of giving in this season. We're grateful for that, Lord God. We're grateful that you've responded to the prayers of your people as we've looked to you and called out to you. Now, as we come to your word, I pray that your word will accomplish all that it is sent forth to do, and that you would equip us as your family, as believers in Christ Jesus, that we might be able to continue to live for you effectively in this day. We know that's your plan for us. You've chosen us to bear fruit and that our fruit would remain, Lord God. We're called to effectively, to victoriously live for you. So I pray that your word today will help bring that about in our lives. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, my wife loves to watch these shows where they take homes and they renovate them. And they come in and they'll take an old house and they take it apart and they'll put it back together and make things all new and make things look different. And she loves to do that kind of stuff. She's very handy herself, actually, and very creative. And she loves to watch these kind of shows and she enjoys them. And I watch them with her sometimes. They don't appeal to me as much as they do to her. The shows that I like are the car ones. The ones where they take an old car and they restore it and make it into, not a new car, but a new looking old car. And I love those kind of shows where they'll take an old clunker and just completely redo it. And there's several of them that are out there and I enjoy them. Melissa's got a few pictures actually that she could show us of some examples. And you could probably see them on the TV when they come up here. There's an old vehicle. It's all beat up. It came to the shop looking like that. But once the artist in that shop, the body guys, the mechanics get finished with it, they end up with this. That's quite the turnaround. And in fact, if you're trying to decide what to give me for Father's Day, because it's coming soon, maybe my sons are watching or something else, this would be just fine right here. I would be cool with this. I could accept that, and that'll be good. Where's another old one? There's just an old truck there and that comes into the shop like that, and yet when they're done with it in the shop, we get that complete. In fact, I'll take this one for Father's Day as well. I have two sons, so one each will work just fine. That'll be good. So, and I think we've got one more. We've got one more also. This is like half a car or a third of a car or something. Comes to the shop. There's not much to it. And yet, look when the guys are done. There we go. Hector, maybe you want this one. Juliana, would you drive this around? Could you handle that? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so I'll let Raul share that one. Maybe you can get that one for Father's Day as well. So it's restoration. They took what was old, what looked to be worthless from a junkyard, completely restore it, give it new life, make it beautiful, make it amazing. In fact, on most occasions, make it better than it was even when it was made brand new in the beginning. They restore it in that way. Pretty exciting that they can do that. Well, the prophet Isaiah came and brought a message to God's people, and he brought a message at a time where the people of God, the children of God, needed restoration. There had been a lot of loss, there had been a lot of difficulty, there had been a lot of pain, and they needed to be restored, and God sent him in the midst of this where they had appeared to have been defeated and everything, and brought a word to them of how God had a plan to restore his people. I want you to know something, church. God always has a plan to bring you back. That is always God's plan. When you have any kind of a loss in your life, any setback in your life, anything you go through is a tough time, there's always a plan of God to bring you back and to restore you. It is a message that is evident throughout Scripture, and it is always the case. You remember a few Sundays ago, we considered Romans 8:28 as one of our verses that day. And it reminded us, as we considered how God works all things together for good, that's a reminder in our lives that if things aren't good in my life right now, then God's not done. Never forget that. Because it doesn't say everything's always going to be good. It says God works all things together for the good of those who love him, those who are the called according to his purpose. So things might not be good right now, but if you look around and think this isn't good, things aren't good right now, then that means God's not finished. You're not done. God always has a plan of restoration to rebuild us as we follow him, praise God. Well, in Isaiah's day, he comes bringing this word of promise, this word of restoration, and I want to show you part of that word today. It's in Isaiah 49, verse 23. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23, it says this. God promising what he's going to do for his children. He said, kings and queens will serve you and care for all your needs. They will bow to the earth before you and lick the dust from your feet. He's talking about they're going to be humbled before them. I don't know if you really want anybody licking your feet. That sounds kind of crazy. But anyway, you get the point. It's humility that he's speaking of there. He says this, then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who trust in me, come on, will never, wherever you are, at home or wherever, come on, say never. Those who trust in me will never be put to shame. That's the promise of God. Now, they were in a time of loss. They were in a time where it looked defeated, where they hadn't experienced much. And yet the word that God brings through his prophet is, if you trust in me, you will never be put to shame. That's a good word. That's a good word to hold on to in your lives. And I want to talk to you today about not being ashamed, about being unashamed, not ashamed in our lives with that. And I want to look at it from a couple of different angles and perspectives with you in your life. But the first point I want you to catch today when we think of that about being not ashamed today is going to apply to us in our lives. And that is the truth that each of us needs to be able to hold on to this and declare this. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, come on, God said if we trust in him, we're never going to be put to shame. And we're going to get back to that one. But in our own lives, and I say it as I stand here and declare it to you, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:8 says this, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. We could say, well, what would that mean? Come on. I think we can all relate to that well. We're in a season of, that's a tough one. It's a tough one in our nation. It's a tough one in our community. In so many of our communities, things look bad. And whenever that happens, it can be that it was a natural disaster. There could be a hurricane, floods, wildfires, whatever would happen. There are always folks who will be quick to say to us as the Church of Jesus Christ, where was your God? Come on, where was your God? Where was God if bad things happened? You testify so boldly. You've talked about all how good your God is. So that then why do these bad things happen? But because of that, when things don't look all that good, if we're not careful, we could kind of clam up. And we could say, well, maybe I better be careful what I say right now because I feel kind of embarrassed because, you know, I've said that God is so powerful and yet things don't look good right now. And we could get quiet about it. But come on. The word there, the call to us, is to not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. What would we have to be ashamed of? Do you realize who our God is and all that he has done? I know you know it, but come on, just let me remind you of it a little bit. He's the creator of everything. Our God spoke and everything was created. Our God said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm not afraid to testify about that. My God is the creator of all things. Our God is the God who loves us so much that he had a plan from the beginning to send his own son, God the Son, to come to earth and live a life without sin and go to a cross and die on our behalf so that all of our sins could be forgiven and washed away and we could be made new in him. Why would we need to be ashamed of that? Why would I need to be embarrassed to tell people about a God who loves people that much, who's that incredible in the love that he has lavished on those who trust in him? I mean, if you hear about something, you might tell people about the hot dogs. There's hot dogs coming Monday after tomorrow. You could tell other people, hey, if you go to SSA at this time, they're just going to be giving away free hot dogs. You would not be embarrassed to tell people that. You know they're going to get something good. You'd feel good about that. We don't have to be embarrassed to tell people about a God who has been so giving and so loving and so gracious in our lives as well, praise God. Our God is preparing eternity for us, a place for us to live with him forever. Our God loves us with an everlasting love. I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. The gospel changed my life. The gospel radically transformed my life. I was headed in one direction, and who knows what would have been the end result of it, but the gospel changed me. The gospel saved my family. The gospel redeemed those that I love. The gospel is transforming. You've seen the impact of the gospel in your own life, of what it brought you from. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe it was your mom or your dad whose life was radically transformed from the gospel. Maybe it was your grandparent, whoever. But that's still your testimony. That is, your family was headed in one direction, and God intercepted the path of it, and the gospel radically transformed your family and your household. The gospel of Jesus Christ works, praise God. Why would we need to be embarrassed about him? Come on, he gave his life for us. He forgives all of our sins. Think about all that he has done for you. We are not ashamed. We are not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed as I stand here to say that I'm Pentecostal, to say that I pray in tongues, that I speak. Why would I be ashamed to testify that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, praise God, that he redeemed me into new life? What would we have to be embarrassed about in that regard? There's nothing that needs to be hidden in that. We can be bold in testifying of who God is and what he has done in our lives. He has been transforming in our lives, praise God. I'm not ashamed of God's word. All of his promises are yes and amen. His word never returns void. When you trust in God, you can believe for God to perform all that he has said he would do. Every word accomplishes what God says it will accomplish. His promises again in him are yes, and in him, amen. We are not ashamed to be counted with the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. No shame. No embarrassment. Be bold with letting folks know who you are and that you believe in the risen Lord of Jesus Christ. Now, here's something that's unique. We're not ashamed of him, and that kind of makes sense because God's so incredible. We're not embarrassed by him because God is so amazing. We don't make any apology for him because God is so hard to comprehend. He's so vast. He's everything. He's miracle working. But this second point's incredible. God is not ashamed of you. God is not ashamed of you. That one we could think, man, pastor, I get how I'm not ashamed of God because God's so incredible. But me, what? God's not ashamed of me? That's true, and I want to show you that in his word today. First of all, I want to read you a portion of a letter. I got this letter in the mail. It says right here at the top of it, you won't be able to see it. You can trust me on this one. It says, the Williams family, 4109 Charlie Forrest Street, Olney, Maryland, addressed right to my household personally. It just came recently from National American Miss. National American Miss. Let me read you a quick portion of it. It says this, dear Williams family, that's us, your daughter has been selected as a possible candidate who may enjoy modeling, acting, or learning stage techniques that will help empower her to accomplish her future. They chose my daughter. My daughter. Now, if you're watching this and you don't know, I have two children. They are both over 6 feet tall and very hairy, and that's who they are. All right, so and they're both male. So here we go. My daughter, she is eligible. I don't know which one of those two boys they want, but this is what they said. She is eligible to compete in this year's official state pageant. I get to put one of my sons in the Miss Maryland pageant. This is unbelievable. This is her invitation to an open call for the National American Miss Maryland State Pageant, named the number one national pageant system by the pageant planet, whatever in the world that is. I don't know. There's a pageant planet. There is no charge to attend the open call session. And it goes on to talk about the opportunities that my daughter's going to have across the state with other girls. I don't even have a daughter. They don't even know who I am. They wrote this so personally to me, as if they had met me, as if they knew our household, and yet it doesn't even fit us at all. They know nothing about us. It just came off some mailing list. They don't know who we are. They just sent it out. Here's the thing. God knows everything about you. God knows everything about me. But that could seem scary. We could say, yeah, pastor, that's what I'm so concerned about. You're saying God's not ashamed of me, but God knows everything about me. God knows where I've blown it. God knows where I fall short. God knows where I don't measure up. He knows all that. God knows me, and he does. God knows your name. The Bible says he numbers the hairs of your head. Unless you're cutting those hairs at home, they're longer than they used to be with all the barbershops closed, and they keep getting extended as we go through this. But God knows how many of them there are. And because we know all of that, and we know that God knows everything about us, we could think, maybe God might be ashamed of me. Maybe God might be embarrassed by me along the way. Maybe God would want to hide that we're his. Because families do that sometimes, earthly families. Earthly families can have someone, sometimes we'll call them the black sheep of the family, that individual maybe that doesn't look like everybody else and doesn't fit in. They went a bad route. They've got some bad things about them in their story or whatever else. And families might hide that there's someone in their family, that they're connected to someone else, and that somebody didn't turn out how they want. I want you to know that God doesn't hide you. God is not embarrassed by you. God doesn't hide you. He doesn't do any of those things. Look at this verse, Hebrews 2:11. Hebrews 2:11 says, "So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father." So Jesus and the ones who Jesus makes holy, well, who's that? That's us. That's the church of Jesus Christ. He makes us holy when he redeems us into him. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. Come on, God the Father is our Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Come on, church. Come on, give me an amen from your house right there. Jesus, if Jesus meets somebody, he will tell them. When Jesus meets somebody, even before Raul graduated, and they had a whole national television program to celebrate his graduation, even before then, when Jesus met somebody, he said, "Hey, you know that Raul guy? That's my brother. I got you over there, Raul." Raul still sits in his seat, so that you know he's in the same place. He's in the same place. Jesus says, "No, we all have the same Father. You've been made holy through the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been adopted into the same family." So he is not embarrassed by us. He is not ashamed of us. God is not ashamed of you. If you find Jesus on Instagram in his profile picture, you're going to be with him. He's probably standing there with his arm around you. He's not embarrassed to be connected with you. He loves you. The only time the Bible ever describes God as being ashamed of us is if we're ashamed of him. But we're not ashamed of him. So God is not ashamed of us. He loves us. We've been redeemed. We've been adopted into the family of God, and Jesus calls us his brothers and sisters. Listen to this other verse from Hebrews 11:16. I'm just going to read it to you. Hebrews 11:16. Speaking of God's children, it says, "They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one." Come on, you're longing for it as well. Aren't we longing for all that God has for us? A heavenly one. "Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." God is so unashamed of you that he has gone to prepare a place for you. God is so unashamed of you that he is adding a room onto his place so that you have somewhere to stay when you get there. He is preparing a place for you. That's how much God loves us and how much unashamed of us he in fact is. In fact, God is so unashamed of his people that he connects his name to his followers. That is why when God is asked in the Bible what his name is, there are times where God leaves all his other titles and platitudes and everything aside, and God says this: "I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob." That's incredible to even hear that, to think that. Now, I've been picking on Raul today, so I'll say it again. I'll call him out again since he has three kids. That's Raul declaring, "I am the father of Rachel, Raphael, and Ruel." Did I pronounce your youngest child's name right? And Ruel. And I don't think Raul would be ashamed to say that. He would tell people, "I am their father." That's what God says about us. God says, "I am the God of you." You could put your name in there, and God would declare it as well. "I am the God of..." Put your name in the bank, in the blank there. God declares that over us. I mean, when you think about God identifying himself, Abraham who lied and lacked faith and stumbled along the way, Jacob who was a deceiver, it didn't matter with God. He forgave them. We could think God wouldn't want to be associated. No. Instead, God identifies himself by them, praise God. And he identifies himself by you. He wasn't ashamed of them, and he isn't ashamed of you. Your eyes are set on him. You're looking for what God has in store for you, and because of that, your hope is in him. God looks on you as well, and God says, "I am the God of Donald." God says, I am the God of Jesse. God says, I am the God of Debbie. God says, I am the God of Pauline. God says, I am the God of John. I am the God of Christian. I am the God of Hector. I am the God of Jenny. I am the God of Mercedes. I am the God of Collins. Put whatever name you want to put in there. God is so unashamed of us that he declares that he is our God as well. We're not ashamed of our God. And our God isn't ashamed of us, and that comes with a promise, and that's our last thing today, and that's this. You will never be put to shame. You will never be put to shame. Isaiah 49, 23, just part of the verse that we read to open. I want to read it to you again. Isaiah 49, 23. Those who trust in me will never be put to shame. Praise God. Let me read you a few verses that won't be on the screen, some portions of them. Catch these real quick. Romans 10, 11. Anyone who trusts in me will never be put to shame. Romans 9:33, the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. 1 Peter 2:6, the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. It is a recurring message throughout the scriptures that God says to his children, if you'll trust in me, if you'll put your faith in me, you'll never have to be embarrassed about it. God says, if you will stand on my word, if you will stand on my word and believe that what I declare is true, you'll never have to make apology for it. You'll never be embarrassed by that. I will always perform what I said I would do if you will trust in me. There will be no shame in that. Come on, do you trust him? I know you do. We want to keep our trust in him, our hope in him, our faith in him, knowing that God will be faithful to honor all of his promises and all of his word in our lives, praise God. He fulfills that. Those who trust in him will never be put to shame. I think this morning of the account of Ezra. Ezra was leaving to go back to rebuild Jerusalem. And as Ezra was, he gathered his supplies and he got all of his stuff together. And he was heading back from Babylon, where he'd been in exile, to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the city there. It had fallen into ruin. And the king had supplied supplies to them and things like that. And Ezra had been very bold in his witness. The people that he worked with weren't believers. The people you work with might not be believers. And Ezra had let them know who God was and who God was to him. And he testified about how you can trust in God and God's faithful in your life. And when it was time to leave, Ezra knew that the road that he had to take to get back to Jerusalem, there were sections that were very insecure. There were going to be areas of that road that were notorious for bandits and robbers, and there was no real authority in those areas. They were kind of ungoverned at that time, and people would rob you as you traveled. And he knew that. Ezra knew that that was the roads he had to go down to get to where he was going. But it says in Ezra that he didn't want to ask the king for an armed escort. He could have. He could have gone to the king and said, hey, send some guards with me because the roads are kind of crazy. He could have. And there wouldn't have been anything wrong with him asking for that. But he says in his book, I had told the king about how my God always protects me. I had told the king about how my God is always there for me. So I didn't want to ask him for armed guards because I felt like he would be able to say back to me, I thought you said your God would protect you. Well, why do you need that if you're God? So he didn't. So he left. He stepped out in faith. He stepped out in faith and said, God, I'm trusting in you. Now, he had a call of God on his life. He wasn't being presumptuous or foolish or anything like that. He knew what God wanted him to do. He was following a call of God on his life. And he left, and God saw him through, and he protected him so that when Ezra reached his destination, he was able to stand there and know, wow, I trusted in my God, and I was not put to shame. I have nothing to be embarrassed about. I have nothing to apologize for. My God was faithful to perform his word in my life. That will be the same in your life as well. As you trust in him, you will be able to believe for the same in your own life. Whatever it is that you're waiting on God for now, whatever it is that you're looking to him for, whatever it is that you're believing for by faith, maybe there's something you've been believing for a long while. You've been looking to him for a season and it hasn't come yet. As you continue to trust in him, I believe that the end of your story will be the same as the end of Ezra's story and all who trust in him. And that is that you will not be disappointed when you put your faith in God. Maybe you're listening today and you've never really completely put your faith in God. Maybe you've been tuning into online church and it's been interesting for you to watch and to catch it along the way, but you've not really put your faith in God completely yet. And maybe you're holding back and you're not sure how you feel about that. I want to assure you of something. If you put your trust in Him, if you put your faith in God, all that God has said He would do for you in your life, He's going to do it. He's going to forgive your sins. He's going to wash them all away. He's going to make you new. He's going to restore you. He's going to give you a new life in Him. You say, what if it, no, there's no what if it doesn't work. It will. Once you're not ashamed of Him, He's not ashamed of you, and He never allows those who trust in Him to be put to shame. You can believe in Him. And then for those of us who are already in that relationship with Him, we're walking with Him, whatever it is you're believing God for as well. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's provision, maybe it's a healing, whatever it is you need in this season. Maybe you're believing for a son or a daughter who's wandered away to come back home and to be restored to faith in Him. And I know we could fill in the blank with 1,000 different things we could be asking God for. Whatever it is, God's promise is, if you'll trust in Me, you won't be put to shame. I'll come through with what I said I would do. I want you to believe God for it today as well. I want you to trust in God for all that you have asked of Him in your life, and to believe for God to be God. He will be. Praise God. Think about this before I pray. As you look back over your journey, as you look back, you can recall times like I can. You can recall times that were tough, times that were difficult. Maybe there's even been a season somewhere along the way as when you were walking through it, you thought, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this one. I don't know how I'll ever come through this one. This one's too difficult. This one's too painful. This one's too challenging. But as you look back, wasn't God always there? Wasn't He faithful? Here you are now. He brought you through. Come on, He's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can continue to put your hope and your trust in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to pray right now, right where you are. Right now, reach out to Him. It's a good time to reaffirm your faith. Maybe there's something you haven't prayed for yet and you'll be asking for it for the first time. Maybe you're concerned about something that's coming in the future over the next weeks or months or year in light of all that's going on right now in our nation and in the world, and it's just causing some uneasiness or some anxiety in you. This is a time to say, you know what, God? I know times are crazy, but my faith is in You. My trust is in You, God. Put your faith in Him. Put your hope in Him. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to agree together, Lord God, with those who are reaching out to you, and reaffirming their faith in You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, as we enter our week, and as I pray for them and for myself, we enter our week boldly. We are not ashamed of who we are. We aren't. We are open in our testimony, testifying of who we are in You and what Your word declares. We have nothing to be embarrassed about. Hallelujah. You've been faithful to us. I thank You as well, Lord God, for the assurance that comes in our lives of knowing that You're not ashamed of us. You love to call us Your own. You redeemed us and saved us, and Jesus, we know You call us Your brothers and sisters because we all have the same Father. Hallelujah. And because these things are true, we know that we won't be put to shame as we trust in you. Be the God of every situation, I pray. Be a provider, be a healer, a restorer. Grant that which is being looked to You at this time. But for all of us, may we be able to rest in You and know peace as we trust in You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. We believe that over our children. We believe that over our families. We believe that over our futures. We believe that over our jobs, our careers, over our educations, over the many different things we would be facing at this time. You'll be faithful in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Trust Him. Amen. He's faithful. Hey, let me say this before you tune off. I hope you're still with me. One last thought here, and that's this. I want to encourage you to encourage someone else. So important. I know we mentioned it along the way, but don't just take it for granted. I want to encourage you to do it. As soon as we tune off, take your phone, just immediately send somebody a text. As soon as we hang up, send somebody a text, so shoot somebody an email, put a post on somebody's social media account or something or another. Just a word of, hey, let's keep trusting in Him. Encourage somebody. Check on somebody. Hey, how are you doing? Encourage them at this time as we're all going through this crazy season. I know it'll make a difference in their lives, even as it will in yours when you receive that for someone as well. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. God bless you. Have a tremendous week in Christ Jesus. And as you walk through it, as you check up on one another as well, make sure if you have any needs, anything like that, that you make us aware of them. Here at the church, give us a call, reach out, because we want to know that we're there for one another. Have a great week in Christ Jesus. God bless you.